Welcome to the Sunday Morning Meeting Podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Brian Ward.
Wow, what a morning so far. There's some distance, I'll tell you, from Trafalgar Square to here. Even Trafalgar Road. That's where I live, isn't it, Trafalgar Road. It's amazing on the way in, you know, we're coming down, North Street, and this guy's walking past me, and I was, oh, good morning, and he's there, putting his hand out, shaking my hand, and I was, oh, nice to see you. And I said to Shannon, who's that? He goes, I don't know. He says, I thought you knew him. I said, I don't know him. And anyway, what a great introduction to the morning coming down North Street. And then about five paces later on, these two burly guys are coming down the road and they look to Shannon, oh, good morning, good morning. Oh, is there something on us, you know? Shannon says, well, it can't be me. She says, I'm still half asleep, she says. So, you know, who knows that we're carrying something, the presence of God. I'm going to start, you know, it seems like tradition. Well, we don't go into tradition in this church. But we're going to show another video clip. And let's just have a look at this video clip. It's just for a couple of minutes. Hands up here whose lives have been touched by a mother's love. I think most hands go up, don't they? That we've all got mums somewhere. And an influence of a mother's love or of a woman, if you like, an influence of women, I think is something I want to talk about this morning. And have we got any great-great-grandmothers in? Great-great-grandmothers. Great-great-grandmothers. Come forward a minute. Come forward, Jill. Any grandmothers? Come forward, Lena. Your great-great-grandmother? Great-grandma? Great-grandma. Who's great-great-grandmas? Have we got any great-great-grandmas here? Great-grandmas, then. Great-grandmas, come forward. Come on. Great-grandmas, come forward. Come on, Lena. Jill, are you a great-grandma? Are you working it out? Come on there, come forward. Any grandmas we got? Any new grandmas? Come on, Kate, you're a new grandma. Come on. Come on, Christine. Come on, Christine. Stop writing, look. Look at this, great-grandmas, grandmas. Who's a new mum? Have we got any new mums? Who's been a mum within the last year, 2 years? Come on through. Who's our good lady through there? Donna. Come on, Donna. Wow. And who's married but isn't a mum? Who's married but isn't a mum at the moment? Come on in. Come up, Suze. And who's not married but obviously... Any females here that aren't married? Come on, one of you. Jump to it. Loads of you. Come on, Joanne. Come on, Liz. Come on, there's a few here. Wow. Wow. So we got grandmas, we got mums, we got great grandmas, we got wives that aren't yet mothers, we got women that aren't yet married, but they're all women of influence. Amen. Eh? Praise God. Hallelujah. Come on, let's sit down. Come on, let's just thank God. Okay, on you go. Please sit down. Come on. Women of influence, eh? A mother's love. There's not much that normally moves me emotions, but when the Spirit moves, you know, I'll normally shed a tear. And some of that normally sheds a tear for me is watching something like... what's that program when they do houses, you know, complete makeover over houses, you know, what do they call that program? Extreme Makeover. And I always end up with a tear in my eye at the end. Oh, blow it, you know, let's just cry because it's touching someone's lives and changing someone's lives for the better. And when we think about women of influence, what women of influence have influenced us in our lives? Can you think of any? You know, I don't know who you look to. Who do you normally look to as maybe a woman of influence that's influenced your life? Sunday school teacher? Anything else? Do we look towards rock stars? I don't know. Rihanna, is she in today's music world, is she? No? She has been, is she? I don't know, Madonna's, I don't know. You have to do what Claire tells you. But what sort of women influence the country that we live in? You know, Michelle Obama, the Queen. Who? Hillary Clinton. Mother Teresa. Sorry? Home Secretary Theresa May. So there's lots of people that seem to influence different parts of the world, of the country, by who they are, by the positions they've been placed into. And yet sometimes God chooses women who are just like you and me. You know, they're not in a position or placed in a position of what the world sees as recognised as people of power. But it does raise people up into those positions that are Christians as well. But it's amazing how, just look at some of the women. I mean, when was it that slavery was abolished through William Wilberforce? 1700s or something like that, 18th century. And yet there's still stories today of young girls being groomed to go into prostitution and sold into marriages they don't want to be married to. And that still continues today, and it's so real, not just in what people call a third world country. I don't like putting tags on places. God doesn't see Africa or other nations as third world countries. That's his creation as much as it is of America and of the West and of Britain. Cindy Jacobs tweeted an article last week. And it read something like this. It was saying, she was saying more than 39,000 girls are forced into marriage each day, sold like cattle to enrich families. And some of these girls are younger, you know, around about the age of 12. There's a Juba in South Sudan. A 17-year-old was beaten to death for refusing to marry a man old enough to be a grandfather. The teen dragged dragged by her family to be raped to force her into marrying an elderly man. They're among 39,000 girls forced to marry every day around the world, sold like cattle to enrich their families. More than one-third of all girls are married in 42 countries, according to the UN Population Fund, referring to females under the age of 18. The highest number of cases occurs in some of the poorest countries. The agency figures show with the West African nation of Niger at the bottom of the list, with 75% of girls married before they turn 18. Wow. And yet women, you are in a place of influence. It was amazing last night that the Street Angels were out, Shona's team were out, there's Alan and Ann and John Haslam and Elka, and yet there's a group of Street Angels here that we opened up our doors and we were giving away free tea and coffee. And there's an influence that's upon the Street Angels that we're within, not just in Scarborough, but is spreading throughout the this country and also in Magaluf as well, where it's starting. But there's an influence. But you might not be aware of a jacket of an angel, but you have the robe of righteousness on. And you're just as much a person that's influenced as someone that wearing a blue jacket of an angel. In your workplace. In your home. In your families. Women of influence. Women of influence. Men, don't switch off on me. Christ is coming back for his bride. That's a bride of influence for today. You know, it's looking in the Bible about women of influence, and I think there's 188 women that are actually mentioned by name, and a lot more that aren't mentioned by name. And annoys me that even today, even in today's society, that women are looked upon as maybe just objects of sex or other, you know, just as an item. And yet God created woman as he created man to be co-partners, that a man and woman should join together, come together. And that was his creation. That it was sad that he saw that Adam was alone and didn't have a companion. So he created all the animals and the birds and everything else to see if that would be a companion for Adam. And he went to see what he would name them all, and he named every single one of them, but still there was no companion found for him. So what did God do? I mean, it's tremendous. This must mean the first sort of like anesthetic going in, and he put a great sleep upon Adam and then took a rib out of him and then made woman. And that woman was there to be a co-partner with Adam. That God sees us as equal and not someone who's less than or greater than a man. And yet the world doesn't seem to take hold of that today. But it's right for the church to start standing up and start being people of influence, for you ladies to be people of influence and us men to be men of influence wherever we go. And that we can start seeing women within other countries being set free and the mindsets changed because of a love of a father who created them from the beginning, that he has a plan and purpose for every woman and child and girl that's in this place today, as well as within the world. I don't know what sort of influence that your mother had upon your life. Sometimes we can go through childhood and sometimes we think... you know, not all childhoods are the same. Not every mum might say, I love you. But sometimes it's the words that speak more than... it's sometimes the actions that speak more than the words. That she cares for you when you're sick. That she buys you something when you need it. You know, that she's always there for you. Sometimes words can be empty. We have to be careful that James talks about the tongue and how we use it, that it can bring life or death. And that we, when we say that we love somebody or that we talk about loving somebody, there's got to be a demonstration in that love, that Christ loved the world, that he went to Calvary. There was an action, you know, that demonstrated the love. It's like going the extra mile or doing, you know, that's the kind of love that we need to be showing in the town of Scarborough. That's the kind of love that we need to be showing as a church of today in a society that thinks women are just used as a sex object or something like that. I'm not saying everybody thinks that, but that's what still goes on for today. And it shouldn't, you know, it's time for change. There's three... I was going to look at sort of like three of the ladies in the Bible, three of the women in the Bible that are influential. A couple of them were married. One wasn't married. You know, God calls women into ministry. He doesn't always want women and men to be married. Sometimes they've got a calling to be raised up and to run with that vision that God has for them. Other women are called to be married. Other women, married women, aren't always called to have, you know, children. And we're going to look at some of these women today that have influenced the life and the times with before Jesus and also during Jesus' life and of today. Women of today that you've already mentioned. A couple of quotes here. A life not lived for others is not a life. Each one of them is God doesn't require us to succeed, he only requires that you try. I alone cannot change the world, but I can cast a stone across the waters to create many ripples. What ripples are we creating today that we can just cast? That it might not be world-changing, but it's changing something now, and the ripples are effective as they go on and on and on. You know, these quotes were from Mother Teresa. So I suppose a good place to start was, Eve. And, man, did she have it tough as a mother. One son that was a murderer, one son that got murdered... And yet another son that ran for the Lord. And then she had many other children after that. And she didn't really have anybody to look to. You know, we can say, well, that woman has influenced my life. Or that woman has influenced my life, or my school teacher, or the Queen, or whoever it is. Cindy Jacobs, Joyce Meyer, I don't know. Kate Abel, Shona Ward, Kate Close, Kath Baxter. You know, every woman in this room. You're a woman of influence. Influence with your children, influence with if you're married with your husbands, influence in your community, an influence in your workplace. So Eve, she was a first wife and a mother. That's what Eve actually stands for. It's like a mother of people everywhere. Eve, a mother of people everywhere. Nothing too onerous to put on her, you know. Well, you're going to be a mother of everywhere, a mother of all people. Wow. And some people are raised up to be mothers of spiritual mothers. And you look at Mother Teresa that ran an orphanage, and there's another woman of influence within the world called Aung San Suu Kyi. Has anyone heard of her? Burmese. And she spent many years in England and America, where she studied, she got married, she had children, and then she returned to Burma in 1988, I think it was. And during that time, the Burmese dictator, Un Nhi Win, had slaughtered many of the Burmese people. And by 1988, he had resigned his post of party chairman, essentially leaving the country in the hands of a military junta, but stayed behind the scenes to orchestrate various violent responses to the continuing protests and other events. And Suu Kyi returned to Burma from abroad in 1988 amidst the slaughter of protesters rallying against Un Nhi Win and his iron-fisted rule. She began speaking out against him with democracy and human rights at the fore of her struggle. It did not take long for the junta to realise that she was a woman that had influence over certain people in that country. Though the Union military told Suu Kyi that if she agreed to leave the country, they would free her, she refused to do so. They placed Suu Kyi under house arrest and cut off any communication she might have had with the outside world. And yet it didn't stop her from being an influence within that country. And I think it was for she spent 15 years, the next 21 years. She got released in 2010, November 2010, in house arrest. And the fight still continues. And she won the Nobel Peace Prize as well. But that's a woman of influence in our own country that wants to see a democracy rather than being ruled by an iron fist and that sort of thing. So going back to Eve, she was a woman of influence in the early days. And it probably broke her heart when one of her sons was killed and the other one was a murderer. And that was because of the sacrifices that he brought to God. It was one brought his best and the other just brought something along. We need to be people that bring our best to God. You see, we all might fail in life. We all might fall down. We do all fall down. But God picks us up again. And it doesn't matter what we fall down in, what sin we commit. But it's good to be in a place where we're walking with God. And that we keep a short account on what we do. And that we can repent and just get on our way. And for Eve, it says, we know the story, or hopefully most of us know the story in chapter 3, how they fell to sin because of because of the serpent in the garden, because of the deceit. You know, sometimes the enemy wants to deceive us and tell us the lies. But we've got to test all things by the Spirit. And if we're not sure, then let's ask somebody. Let's come to your, you know, come to your house team leader. Let's ask someone within your church. Let's make sure what we're hearing is right from what God is telling us. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to show us and have that discernment, spirit of discernment and the wisdom that we need to be people of influence in our society. Let's not blame other people for our wrongdoings. But let's just put our hand up and say, look, I've blown it. Ask God to forgive us and let's carry on. And he says, come on, let's go another a step further, let's go on. He holds us by his right hand that we shall not stumble, that we shall not fall. And yet he wants us to be a people of influence. But let's not blame other people for our own sin. It's often the case, isn't it? Oh, well, so-and-so said this, or such and such a person did that. But what it is, it's what we, how we take hold of that. It's what, is it our response or is it a reaction that we have with somebody? Do we react against what's being said or what's being done, or do we have a response of saying, well, whatever's happening, I want to stay right with God. That's how we stay to be people of influence in our place here in Scarborough and in our communities. And then as it was, as they went out of the garden, there's consequences because of our actions. You know, sometimes there's consequences because of our actions, and sometimes the consequences aren't always good. And for women, unfortunately, that means pain in childbearing. And for man, that means, you know, it's hard to get those weeds out the ground because that's where the sin went into. Praise God, I've got a backyard now. I don't have a garden to weed. But I think through our sin, you know, not just in the physical weeds, but the weeds that can come into our lives, it sometimes causes us a pain. And so when they were banished from the garden, God made them the clothes from animal skins. And Adam slept with his wife and Eve, and she became pregnant. And when the time came, she gave birth to Cain. Within the garden. That was after Eve had been created. But later on, once they'd been banished, it said that Adam slept with his wife, 130 years old, and his Seth was born to them. And Seth was the very image of his father. And after the birth of Seth, Adam lived another 800 years and had other sons and daughters. And he died at the age of 930. And it was Seth that really took up. That was the first time that people started to worship God, was through Seth, his third son. But what influence did Eve have on Seth? A mother's love. A mother's love that she still had on Cain and for Abel as well. It doesn't matter what people do, you know, there's that mother's love. The other person I'd like to look at is, this is a person really, a lady, a woman of God who was married but didn't have any children. And you can find that story in Judges. And it's a woman called Deborah, and she was the fourth judge of Israel, the only woman judge of Israel, the fourth judge of Israel, as well as a prophetess. And she used to have her own palm tree. She used to sit under the palm and people would come to her and she would judge people's cases, you know. And she was a mighty woman of God. And I'd like to start reading really in Judges 5. In fact, just in chapter 4, and it says, Deborah, the wife of Lapidoth, was a prophet who had become a judge in Israel. Chapter 4 and verse 4. And she would hold court under the palm of Deborah, which stood between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim. And the Israelites came to her to settle their disputes. And one day she sent for Barak, son of Abinoam, who lived in Kadesh and in the land of Naphtali. She said to him, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, commands you. Assemble 10,000 warriors from the tribes of Naphtali and Zebulun at Mount Tabor. I will lure Sisera, commander of Jabin's army, along with his chariots and warriors to the Kishon River. There I will give you victory over him." Barak told her, "I will go, but only if you come with me." "Very well," Deborah replied. "I will go with you, but since you have made this choice, you will receive no honor. For the Lord's victory over Sisera will be at the hands of a woman." So Deborah went with Barak to Kadesh. At Kadesh, Barak called together the tribes of Zebulun and Naphtali, and 10,000 warriors marched up with him. And Deborah also marched with him. Now Heber the Kenite, a descendant of Moses' brother-in-law, Hobab, had moved away from the other members of his tribe and pitched his tent by the oak of Zananan near Kadesh. And when Sisera was told that Barak, son of Abinoam, had gone up to the Mount Tabor, he called for all 900 of his chariots and all his warriors, and they marched from Hashaneth Haggaim to the Kishon River. And then the battle took place, and all of Sisera's troops were killed. And as he ran off, it was another woman that took hold of a hammer and a tent peg and hammered it through his heart. But Deborah was a woman of influence. Not was she just a prophet, a prophetess or a judge, but she was a commander of an army as well. And yet she didn't have any children, but she was a woman of influence. She had a willing heart. She had a willing heart. And I think that's what God looks for in the women of today and in the men today. It's our heart condition before him. And it's not... it's not our riches, it's not our wealth, but it's our character that he looks at. It's your character that he looks at. He says, "Are you willing to do the things I've got for you to do?" He sees the love in our hearts. You know, the thing that makes me cry, you know, is that hymn that we sang this morning was Love Vast as an Ocean. Because it just talks to me about a father's love. How he kisses a world of sin with his love, you know. And another woman I'd like to look at today is a woman in the New Testament. And this was a woman who really was living a life that probably today, you know, she was a prostitute at the time. And reading in Luke chapter 7 and verse 36. And it says, one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. And he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at his table. I just love the pictures, you know, that God gives us of some of these scenes. You know, this Pharisee, you know, the people that were out to try and get Jesus. And this Pharisee invites Jesus to go and come to his house and have a meal with him. And I don't know what his thoughts were, you know. Was this some sort of trap he was trying to trap Jesus into, or was he just being a friendly Pharisee? I don't know. And there was Jesus lounging at his table. You know, I don't think he had a table from IKEA with these wooden chairs, you know. That's probably one of these low things. And he's probably just lounging on the floor, you know, just... Ron, do you want to come show us? No, that's all right. He's probably just down like this, you know, with this slow table. And just relaxing with this Pharisee. And a woman in the town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. She came with an alabaster jar of perfume, something you can't eat. But I don't think she's bringing something to eat. I don't know who's bringing share in that case. But she came with an alabaster jar of perfume, and as she stood behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with tears. Then she wiped them with her hair and kissed them and poured perfume on them. And when the Pharisee had invited him, saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. Jesus answered him, Simon, I have something to tell you. Tell me, teacher, he said, tell me. Two people owed money to a certain moneylender, and one owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. And neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now which of them will love him more? And Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the biggest debt forgiven. And Jesus said, you have judged correctly. And Jesus said, then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? Do you see this woman? I came into your house and you did not give me any water for my feet. Something that happened in those days, as they were walking through the dusty, I wouldn't call them roads, probably some hard sort of rocky places and tracks that they walked along. They go into a house, and it's normally the job of a servant would be to wash the feet of the guests that came into the house. I came into your house, you did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not pour oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little. Then Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. And the other guests began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. I think this must be another miracle that we're seeing coming through the roof. Now, when we go back and we look at this woman, she heard that Jesus was at this Pharisee's house. And she knew the sort of life she'd been living. And she wanted to go and meet this guy, Jesus, because she knew he had something that would set her free of her past. And so she went prepared. She went prepared with this jar of alabaster oil. And as she entered into the house, sorry, I just lost my place, sir. As she entered into the house, she didn't stop weeping over the feet of Jesus. She stood behind him, and her tears were continuous. And I think what God was showing me in this instance about this woman and about ourselves is that she went to Jesus in a place of wanting to be totally forgiven. Tears of true repentance and total sacrifice leads to complete forgiveness through Christ Jesus, through faith in Christ Jesus. And sometimes it's when we really get down to it and we can cry a tear, but is it tears of true repentance? Are we giving everything to Jesus? That as she went down to his feet, she was wiping his hair. She was wiping his feet with her hair. And she was pouring this alabaster oil all over his feet. And what it is, it's an action of giving my all. It's giving my everything. It's about a woman that wants to say, look, I love you, Lord. It's about a woman that says, Jesus says she never stopped kissing my feet. That it didn't matter where she came from or what she'd done. She met someone who could change her life, who knew she could have repentance from. And it's an act of worship as we bow down, as we go down on our knees, as we go down on our face. There's times on a Sunday or on a Thursday or times when we come into the presence of God, we come face down before God. And it's just to give God everything. It's a time of preparing our own hearts before God that, Holy Spirit, search me, that if there's anything there, just take it away from me right now. I repent of anything that I've done. It's that preparation. And then from the preparation, as she poured the perfume over his feet, there was a sweet-smelling aroma that came to his nose. Such an act of worship that she's showing to Jesus, the one that she loved. What's our alabaster jar of perfume today? What is it that we give to God that is everything of ourselves? That everything that we have is given of God anyway? That there's a freedom that he's given us in Christ Jesus that know him? But in the same way as he anoints us to do great miracles, let us come before God and do great miracles. Let us come before God and anoint him with our worship. Our worship isn't just the singing of the hymns, but it's a lifestyle. It's about falling down on your knees. It's about, Lord, I love you. It's about, Lord, here's my heart. It's about, Lord, use me. It's about, Lord, I am yours. A woman of influence. As Jesus told her that her sins were forgiven, he says, go your way. Imagine the story that she would be taking with her. The aroma that was still probably upon her hands and upon herself. The aroma of Jesus Christ. The aroma that you carry. That each person in this room carries. Women of influence, men of influence. It's as we come into this place of worship, as we come down and we give our all in our offerings, in our singing, that he rejoices in heaven as he hears us. That is that sweet-smelling aroma of your sacrifice that goes before him. And he says, I love you, my child. He says, you are mine, I have chosen you. That you are a person of influence in your area. Wherever you're walking, wherever you're going. Your life is an action like this woman's of laying down before me of tears. Tears of this case of repentance, but there can be tears of joy as well. But there's an attitude of heart before God. An attitude of heart that he wants to see in every person that belongs to him. A heart after his own heart. A heart that says, wow, it doesn't matter who's out there in the town of Scarborough, God loves you. And that you are carrying an influence of God, of Jesus Christ as you leave this place. That aroma, that sweet-smelling aroma. At your feet we fall, a position of worship. Surrender, humility, laying all before him. And then arises that sweet-smelling scent. Oh, sweetness to his nostrils. That he delights in you. That he delights in each and every one of you. You know, our weaknesses draws us to God. Our worship glorifies God. And our walk is a witness or testimony to God. Because of what he has done to us, we're able to take that out into the world and say, have some of this. Have Jesus. Women of influence. Another woman I won't take time to look at, but you can look at yourselves as a mother of Jesus herself, Mary. One who says, Lord, have your way with me. It probably blew her mind at the age of 17 when the Holy Spirit came to her, when the angel spoke to her and says, you're going to bring into this world this the Son of God, Jesus. You shall call his name Jesus, for he takes away the sins of the world. Wow. You are women of influence. You are men of influence. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. What's our answer today? What's our answer going to be today? Is it going to be that of Mary? Is it going to be that of this woman of just sharing Jesus with our worship? Are we going to step out this coming week with the promises of God and say, God, just use me. I don't know how you're going to do it, but just use me.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.